Well, if you're here for the first time this year, you've arrived at the right time because we are beginning our exciting journey in the book of Acts this morning. So please turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1, we'll read from verses 1 to 11. Acts chapter 1, from verses 1 to 11, and then we'll pray. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Amen. Let's go to prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we thank you that your truth endures to all generations. And Lord, as we look back into history, we thank you, Lord, that not only do we have a divine record, but Lord, we have a divine word that is able to revive our hearts so that we may in this day be witnesses for thee. Father, help us, we ask. Lord, we need your guidance. We need your voice to speak to us this morning. Lord, only you know where we are at in our lives. Lord, only you know those who are present here this morning that need to receive Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, you know our struggles as Christians. You know our needs. And yet, Lord, you have called us to a great commission. And you are able to make us to become fishers of men. Lord, help our faith to be in you this morning. To be in the promises of your word. And in the power of the Holy Spirit. To build us up in your truth this morning. Father, we pray that nothing that is said or thought of in our hearts and in our minds would bring dishonor to you, and that you would have your will and way in our lives. For the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, in our Savior's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning as we begin our journey in the book of Acts, we begin a journey back into the pages of history. But as we look into this wonderful book, let's be reminded that this is not a history that has ended in the past. This is a history that began in the past, is continuing in the present, and will move forth into the future until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Amen. The book of Acts is an exciting book. If you were to describe this book, this is a book of action. The word acts in the Greek means that it describes the activities, the doings, the workings of those of a people or a city in a present time. And what a wonderful description of this book. The workings of a people during the time of the early church. The Bible tells us in verse number 1 that the writer wrote to teach of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And the writer of the book of Acts is well known as Luke. Dr. Luke, who writes in great detail. And if you've ever read the book of Luke, you would have enjoyed the detail that God gave Luke and Luke wrote down. But imagine if Luke finished the book of Luke, writing it as God gave it to him. And then suddenly we read the book of John, and then we jump to the book of Romans, but there's no book of Acts. Imagine how confusing that would be. We would see the Lord Jesus Christ risen with his disciples upon the earth, and suddenly we would appear in Rome where the Apostle Paul is writing to the Romans. We'd think to ourselves, where did this guy Paul come from? How did the church get all the way from Israel to Rome? What happened in between? You see, God gave Luke these wonderful words to write down, inspired of the Holy Ghost, so that we may know the history of the early church. Not only that, so that we may know not only how God used Christians in that day, but that we may know how God wants to use you and I today. You see, Luke wrote his gospel and recorded the workings of Christ in person. But here in the book of Acts, we have the recording of Christ working in his spirit through the church in this wonderful book of the Bible. And that's why the Lord has led us to a study of the book of Acts this year, so that we can go back and see that God has not changed. Amen. That the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. And friends, that is the main theme of this book. That Jesus saves whosoever comes, whosoever will believe in him, Jesus will save, whether Jew or Gentile. The gospel is offered to all, and salvation is offered to all men. That is the theme of this wonderful book. And friends, the gospel still has the power to save. It is still the power of God unto salvation. And just as the Lord began his work and worked through his people, church family, he is still continuing his work through local Bible-believing churches today. Amen? And that's what ought to stir our hearts throughout this year. That the ordinary people that God used during the first days of the early church, he wants to use ordinary people like you and I in the same way to be witnesses for him. What an exciting truth. What an exciting journey that we will take this year as we study this wonderful book. 15 times in the book of Acts, the word witness is used to describe believers. From chapter 1 all the way to the second last chapter, chapter 26, the Bible says and uses the word witness to describe believers. It reminds us, this wonderful book, that we are witnesses unto him. That is what we have been called to do, to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, isn't it true? So often we do everything but. So often do we do everything but. So often we get busy with our own lives. We get busy with our own priorities. We are witnesses to others about the news. We are witnesses to others about what's happening on the internet. We are witnesses to others about our aches and our pains and how hot it is, amen, in the city of Cairns. But how often are you and I witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ, of his salvation in our lives, our relationship with him and the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, this book is going to help us to get back on track, amen. As a church and as Christians, friends, we need to get back on track. We need to be a church in the city of Cairns that is on track with God's plan and purpose for our lives in 2017. There are over 60 examples of soul winning in this book, public and personal evangelism. So for you and I this morning, Let me encourage you to be prayerful. But what God wants to challenge us with. This is a challenging book, my friends. This is a book of revival for the Christian. Now, if you want to find an outline of the book of Acts, you don't need to look much further than Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, what we already have read, and our memory verse for next month. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, no doubt one of the key verses in the book of Acts. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And there we have Acts chapter 1 and 2. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. And there we have chapters 1 to 7 of the book of Acts as the gospel went out at Pentecost in Jerusalem. And there we have next to Judea and Samaria. We've got Philip, we've got Peter preaching the gospel in the outlying areas. And then we have Peter following on through the Apostle Paul to the end of chapter 28, taking the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. Friend, God did this. You see the promise in verse 8? Friends, He did this. And He's continuing to do this today. Amen. But the Apostle Paul is no longer around. Peter has gone to be with the Lord. He was crucified, upside down, martyred for the faith. Peter's gone to be with the Lord. So is each and every one of these witnesses we are reading of, that we'll learn of this year. But you see, you and I are still here today. And God has called us as His people to be witnesses unto Him. That is what His purpose and plan is for our lives. And though the book of Acts ends at the last chapter, its truth is continuing throughout our day. Many pages could be written in the books of history of faithful saints that have taken the gospel throughout the world. And by the very fact that you and I are here this morning, for those of you who know Jesus Christ as Savior, our presence here this morning is a testimony to those who believed in the Word of God, who obeyed the Scriptures, and were witnesses to all the world. Now it's our turn. Now it's our time to be challenged. Church family, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Christian, do you want to be a soul winner for the Lord this year? Let me encourage you to be in church. Let me encourage you to be faithful, to be taught by the Word of God. And if you are faithful, my friend, God will work in your life and mine so that we may be who He wants to be this year. Now, this morning, we're going to look at chapter number 1. Now, we won't be able to cover the whole chapter this morning. So let me quickly say, if you're not here tonight and you don't come Sunday nights, then by the end of the year, you would have only gotten half the book of Acts. You're going to miss out on half the book if you don't come on Sunday nights. And look, if you haven't worked out the importance of Sunday nights yet, well, sorry, we can't wait for you. We need to move on. Church, 10 years. That's the anniversary of Coastline Baptist Church this year. And friends, we need to work it out. Sunday morning, Sunday night. That's God's plan. This is the Lord's Day. That's another message. Amen. Let me encourage you to be here Sunday night so we can study through the book of Acts together. This morning we're looking at Acts chapter number 1. And in Acts chapter number 1, the believers at the time are described as assembling in the upper room, waiting for the power based on the promise of God. Now remember, the church at this time is not in hiding. Once they were in hiding, but now that they are in faithful expectation, waiting for the arrival, the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. They are not a church in hiding. They are a church in waiting. They are a church ready to go out into the highways and byways to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what we read of in Acts chapter 1 fills in the blanks of how these early believers got to the upper room. What led them from hiding to faithful waiting and expectation? What led them from fear and unbelief to faith and wonderful service? What got them to the upper room? here in Acts chapter 1. Well, this morning we're going to look at three truths that reveal to us the faith of these first Christians. Three truths that were present in their lives that enabled these early believers to be wonderful witnesses for Jesus Christ. All right, are you ready this morning? First of all, notice with me in your Bibles in verse 3, they had faith in the reality of the resurrection. They had faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Notice in verse number 3, the Bible tells us that after the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, he didn't just appear for a moment. He didn't just appear for a day. The Bible says that he appeared for no less than 40 days upon this earth in his own resurrection body, appearing to those who saw him and proving the reality of his physical resurrection. My friends, the Bible tells us that these believers that gathered in the upper room had seen the risen Christ. They believed that their Savior did not just die on the cross, was not just buried in a tomb. No, they knew that there was an empty tomb because there is a risen Savior. And the reality of the resurrection fueled these believers to go out with great boldness, with great hope, and with great conviction to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, we have a risen Savior. How do we know he's in the world today? I know that he is living, whatever men may say. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. My friends, as Christians, we have a risen Savior. And this is the truth that these early believers believed in. Now, some of them, and we know at least one of them, certainly did not believe in Christ's resurrection. And as the Lord appeared to his disciples, do you remember what Thomas said when they told him he is risen? Thomas said, "Look, if I can't see him for myself, if I can't touch his wounds, then I will not believe." And the Lord, in great humility and graciousness, showed himself alive to Thomas. And Thomas reached into his now pierced hands with his own hands. He reached into the place where the Roman soldiers had pierced the side of the Lord Jesus Christ to make sure that he had literally died. And there in the upper room, the Lord showed to Thomas that he indeed is risen. And do you remember what Thomas said? He fell down in worship before the Lord and he said, "My God and my Lord." You see, there was no doubt to these early believers that Christ is risen from the dead. And the faith of Christ's resurrection in their lives made all the difference. My friends, we have a risen Savior. Now, you might be here this morning and you might say, "Well, Pastor, I've never seen Jesus Christ with my own eyes. I've never reached into his hands or his side. How do I know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead?" Well, my friends, Christ's resurrection is a historical fact. Yes, we must put our faith in that truth, but it is a fact backed up by many, many infallible proofs. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. When the Lord spoke to Thomas, he said to Thomas, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed." We must accept Christ's resurrection as by faith, but it is based upon pure fact, my friends. Well, first of all, we have the proof of the empty tomb. The proof of the empty tomb. When Christ was entombed in a rock cave, the cave was surrounded by Roman guards. You see, the religious Jews knew that Christ had prophesied he would rise from the dead. So they got the governor to seal the tomb, to place guards before that tomb, to seal the tomb with a seal that if it was broken, the one who broke it would be crucified immediately. There was a guard before the tomb. It was sealed, it was protected, it was impenetrable. And yet 3 days after Christ had died, was entombed, the early believers arrived at the tomb and there was no guard in place. There was no stone in front of the door. There was no seal upon the stone, for it had been broken, and there was no body in the tomb. And my friends, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ has never been found. Why? Because we have a risen Saviour. Because Christ literally and bodily rose again from the dead. Well, how about the proof of eyewitnesses? Now think about it with me for a moment. For 40 days, Christ appeared in His resurrection body. For 40 days, He was alive upon the earth after He rose again from the dead. Now, He did not just appear to one or two. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and after that He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that He was seen of about 500 brethren at once. James, then the apostles, and then Paul. Friends, Christ showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs. And the record of their eyewitness testimonies is given to us in the Holy Word of God. And every account of the life of Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is given to us, is provable and testable and accountable, as accurate as eyewitness testimonies can be before a court of law. Friends, there were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Christ. There's the proof of the empty tomb. There's the proof of the eyewitnesses. And then there is the proof of changed lives. And that's what we're talking about this morning. A group of people waiting in an upper room whose lives have been supernaturally and dramatically changed forever. Now, do you remember Peter? What Peter did? The leader of the disciples. What did Peter do on the eve of Christ's capture? What did he do? He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. When someone asked Peter, "Are you one of His followers?" to save his own skin, to protect his own life, three times Peter swore and denied the very fact that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where Peter was at the night that Christ was captured. That's where the disciples were at when they were hiding in the upper room. Yet, my friends, what do we see take place in the recorded Word of God? We see Peter and the other disciples later in Pentecost who would not claim Christ as Saviour to save their own skin. We see Peter standing up in the middle of Jerusalem, in the hotbed of persecution, before the temple, preaching to thousands of people before him that Christ is risen from the dead, preaching a message of repentance, calling them to turn to Christ as their Saviour and to put their faith in Him once and for all. And what do we see? The Bible tells us that 3,000 repented and were saved that very day. But here's the question. What could have done the change in Peter's heart to cause this man who denied Christ to save his own life to then give his life to preach that Christ is risen from the dead? What would have given every single one of these apostles the boldness to give their own lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, the answer is very clear. It's because they believed in a risen Saviour. They had faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, what do you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He rose again from the dead? My friend, you cannot receive the gift of eternal life. You cannot be forgiven by God in this life unless you believe that He died on the cross, that He was buried, and that He rose again from the dead. Listen carefully. Jesus said this, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." My friends, all those who repent of their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ once and for all for their salvation, the Bible says, just like Christ arose, we will also arise to new life and have eternal life forever in Him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith. My friend, have you put your faith in Christ as Saviour? Has there been a time that you realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Not just for the sins of the whole world, but for your sins. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us deserve the judgment of God. But thank God, God provided a Saviour. Amen. God took upon Himself the judgment and wrath due for our sins. And upon that old rugged cross, Jesus Christ shed His holy, sinless blood to pay for your sins and mine. But don't miss it. It would have been worthless and pointless unless He rose again from the dead. The Bible tells us He was raised again for our justification, and He is the resurrection and the life. Have you put your faith personally in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted in Him? Has there been a time in your life where you called upon His name to save you once and for all for the sin debt that we owe before a holy God? My friends, these believers had faith in Christ because they had faith in His resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. My friends, you must believe that He rose in order to be saved. If you do not believe that He rose, you cannot be saved. But friends, if you do believe that He rose from the dead, then you cannot be silent. Amen? We cannot be silent as Christians. And as God's witnesses in this day, we need to remember the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in verse number 8 in the book of Acts, "But ye shall be witnesses unto me." What are we to be witnesses of? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are the ones who have experienced eternal life. We have received Him as Savior. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We know He lives because He lives within our hearts. And we are to be witnesses unto the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That means as God's people, we need to remember by faith that Christ is risen. Amen?
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Thank you, Lord.
We serve a risen Savior. If we forget that, our faith is weak. Our witness is unclear. It's without conviction. Friends, Christ is risen from the dead. The Bible tells us that the Lord works through us to be His witnesses. He stands with us. This was the faith that this early church had. You see, their faith was strengthened, solidified, prepared, and they were only in waiting for the command of God to go out and witness to a lost and dying world. First of all, we see a faith in the resurrection. Christian, we have a risen Savior. He is in the world today, and He has called us to serve Him. He has called us to tell a lost and dying world that Jesus is risen. Now, most people, would you agree, would say, yes, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. Yes, I believe that that's a historical fact. But most people would not agree that He is risen. And friends, we need to preach the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the full gospel in its entirety, so that souls will be saved. And if you and I are not stirred and revived and quickened by the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then we cannot be God's witnesses. You see, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. That's not only someone who's saved, but that's someone who's right with God. Amen? Because they have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. They walk with Him each day. They're filled with the Word of God. Not just knowing about Christ, but walking with Christ. Loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, let me ask you this morning. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you walking with the Lord? That's what's going to fuel your witness as a Christian. We have too much constructive Christianity today that's theoretical and not relational. My friends, this book has not been given to us as a book of theory and education. The Word of God is living. The Bible says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." And as we read the Word of God, God speaks to His children. And as we speak back to God in prayer, we enjoy a living relationship with a living Savior. Christian, Christ is risen. He's given us a great commission. And this is what convicted these early believers to stay put, to stay on track for God's plan for the church. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's the faith we also must have. Faith in the reality of His resurrection. All right, are you ready for the second point? Let's move on this morning. Notice they had faith in His resurrection, but they also had faith in the power and the promise of Christ. In verse 4, the Bible tells us that Christ told them to wait for the power. That was his promise to them, the promise of the Holy Ghost. And in verse number 6, as they assembled with the Lord during his earthly time, they asked the Lord a question. Verse number 6, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Now, there was nothing wrong with this question. The Lord did not rebuke them, but he did give them the answer. You see, their question was referring to an event that would take place in the future. It was not for the present. And of course, the burden of every Jew who believes in the Messiah is that the Old Testament promises that were given to the nation of Israel would be fulfilled, that the Messiah would come to rule and reign, that they would inherit the land and the promises given to the nation of Israel. And as they asked the Lord Jesus Christ this question, he answered them like this. Notice the next verse, verse number 7. "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." My friends, the Bible tells us that Christ will restore his kingdom upon the earth. The Bible tells us that we do not know the time of those events. We know that Christ is coming. We know that his word will be fulfilled. But we do know that God has not called us here to sit in church and to speculate when Jesus Christ is coming again. The Lord tells his disciples very clearly, you will not know the time, you will not know the season. What's the Lord's point? He says, don't just sit around talking about when I'm coming back. I've got a job for you to do. You need to be about the business I've called you to do. What is that business? Notice in verse number 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Can you see how the Lord turned their attention to the main thing? Christian, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen? What is the main thing? The main thing isn't you and I speculating, sitting, stagnating in what we know about the Word of God, but not telling anyone about it. You see, we are to be, here's what? There's the mention of the word. Witnesses. What is a witness? A witness is someone who tells another person what they have seen and heard. Is that correct? Tells another person what they have seen and heard. That's what a witness is. And the word witness, in the original meaning, translates to the word martyr that we use today, which reminds us that these early believers gave their very lives to tell others of what they had seen and heard. And Christian, God has called us to be his witnesses. And these early believers had faith in the power of God. Notice verse number 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." This is the promise in verse number 4 that John the Baptist mentioned, that the Holy Ghost will come and believers will be baptized by the Holy Ghost. This is the promise that Christ had given them, that the Comforter will come, that he must ascend to the Father, so that the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit will come into the world and indwell and fill every believer for the commission and for the sake of the gospel. And in Acts chapter 2, that's what we will learn. And we will see that the Holy Spirit of God came into the world and took residence in each believer and empowered the church to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't miss it. Where were these believers? They were meeting in the upper room, and what were they doing? They were waiting. They weren't scattered. They weren't hiding. They weren't fearing for death any longer. They had faith in the resurrection of Christ, and they had faith in the power and the promise of God. Amen. They believed that the power of God would come in the person of the Holy Ghost. They knew that God would empower them, and they were simply waiting. But they had faith that God would indwell them and use them mightily for the sake of the gospel. Now, Christian, listen very carefully. These believers were instructed to stay because the Spirit of God had not yet come. But for you and I today, in this day of history, we are not commanded to stay. We have been commanded to do what? To go. Why? Because the Comforter has already come. The Bible tells us that the moment, if you are a Christian, the moment you repented of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, you were born again by the Spirit of God. You were born again from above. Notice with me in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. The moment we receive Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells us and seals us with His presence. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13. Thank you for turning there. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Friends, we need to have faith in the power of God. Amen. The presence of the Holy Spirit within the believer. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Let's read this verse aloud together, shall we? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 on 2. 1, 2. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. My friends, it's very clear in the word of God. For the believer today, who was not present at Pentecost, we are indwelt immediately, suddenly, invisibly, by the presence of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, after that ye believed the gospel of your salvation, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Christian, the Spirit of God lives within you. And God has given us all that we need to be bold, courageous, flaming witnesses for God in this day. And all God's people said,
amen.
Well, that's what we should say. But do you really believe it? Do you believe that the moment you were born again, that you received Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit indwelt you for the purpose of what? To come to church on a Sunday morning. Well, I'm glad you're here. Amen. Praise God for the church. I wouldn't be here if I didn't love the church. I trust that that's why you're here. Amen. But friends, that's not why He indwelt us. He indwelt us so that we may have the power we need from God to witness to a world that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, you and I, in fact, can only witness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And He indwells us. That's the promise of God. You may be here this morning and you might say, Pastor, I don't like this theme. That's good. I'm glad you're irritated by it. No theme should be comfortable for the Christian. Amen. God wants to do miraculous things. That means we have to allow Him to do the supernatural in our lives, the impossible in our lives. I'm glad it makes you uncomfortable. It ought to. You might say, Pastor, I don't think I could ever lead a soul to Jesus Christ. I don't know how I could be a passionate, bold witness for the gospel in my home, in my school, young people, in my workplace, to my neighbours. I don't know how I can do it. Well, you're on the right track. You can't do it. But friend, if you stay there, you're calling God a liar. Because the Lord Jesus said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
Amen.
Christian, do you have faith in the power of God? Until you and I truly believe that God can use us because He indwells us, and if we simply yield ourselves to Him, He will use us, you and I cannot be a witness for Jesus Christ. You see, these early believers had faith in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. How much more faith should we have when they were waiting for Him to come and we already have His presence within us? Christian, do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe the Comforter has come? Now here's a thought. The Comforter. What makes you uncomfortable? Well, is it this? It should be. The Comforter has come. And if soul winning makes you uncomfortable, guess who is the one that will help you in that area? The Holy Spirit of God. Amen. The Comforter. He will lead you into all truth. He will give you wisdom in what to say. He will give you the boldness within that you and I do not have and cannot have only through His presence, His filling, and His power. But the average Christian lives their life from day to day, not even acknowledging that God lives in them. No wonder you and I don't tell people about Jesus Christ. Half of our lives are lived without the reality and the faith that God lives within us. And He's indwelt us to be a witness for His glory. Let me encourage you this morning to have a rock solid faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have a risen Savior, but we need a faith in the power of God. The power of God. Pastor, I can never go out door knocking. I mean, that's ridiculous. I can't do something. Maybe you can. Friend, if you're a Christian, I've got the same thing you've got. A weak and nervous and fearful flesh and the power of the Holy Spirit of God who indwells you and I as believers and who will take you and I to places that we would not dare go because of His indwelling presence. Amen? It should be ridiculous to go out door knocking because it is in the flesh, but not in the Spirit, my friend. In the Spirit, you and I cannot help but be witnesses for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of the Spirit. Not only faith in the power, but faith in the promise. Notice the second half of verse number 8. Now, are you still with me? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, don't get distracted. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. As this small group of believers, small in comparison to the world they were to reach, gathered in the upper room, God promised them the power to come. But notice the next promise. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Do you know what God promised them? That through you, by the power of the Holy Ghost, the world will be reached. And Christian, God is still on target, involved in the same mission. To reach the world for Jesus Christ. And God has called us to the same calling. And He has given us the same power. He has given us the same promise. So why aren't we being witnesses for Jesus Christ? Maybe it's because as Christians we don't have faith. Excuse me. In the promises of God. Maybe we know about them, but we are not claiming them in our lives. It's interesting how the apostles said to the Lord, Lord, when are you coming back? When are you going to restore the kingdom? When will this happen? When will that happen? Now, the Lord again didn't rebuke them. We need to know the word of God. We need to understand God's timetable and prophecy, absolutely. But He doesn't want you and I to stand around and not keep the main thing the main thing. Look, it does not matter how much you know about the Bible if you're not telling anyone about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why someone can get saved, someone can get baptized, someone can become a member of the church and be a greater witness than someone who's been saved from an early age and grown up as a Christian but doing nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Absolutely. That's why God needs to revive us as God's people. We need to get back on track. It's witnessing that God has called us to do. If we leave that off, we're not serving Christ. We've missed it. Doesn't matter how much food we bring to church. Doesn't matter how much effort we put into setting up church. It doesn't matter how much time we may be involved in different ministries, and that's all wonderful and needful. But if it's not about the propagation and the declaration of the gospel, we've missed it. We've missed it. Friend, this is why we're here. Amen? This is why we're here as a church. I trust you don't think this subject is something strange and unusual and even a little bit untrue because it makes us uncomfortable. Friend, we are here to be witnesses unto Him. Is that right? Well, we've got to have faith in the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection, and faith in the power and the promises of God. Christian, we are to reach our Jerusalem. Amen? That's the city which we live in, the city of Cairns. Then we are to reach our Judea. That's the region around Cairns, far north Queensland. Then we are to reach our Samaria. That's the next door regions, the rest of the states of Australia. Then we are to reach the uttermost part of the world. But look with me in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. A church cannot reach the world if they are not reaching their own Jerusalem. Are you listening? If you don't reach Jerusalem, you can't reach the world. If you can't reach into your own city, if you're not being a faithful witness here, you can't reach the world. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ taught. A church that is strong at home will be strong abroad. Adults, if we do not give our young children, the next generation, an example of fearless witnessing, don't expect them to be witnesses when they grow up. You can say amen. Some of you are living for your children's lives, expecting more from them than you are willing to commit to. Don't expect it to happen. God can do the miraculous, but don't expect it to happen. In fact, the Bible tells us a generational example sets a downward grade if it is unfaithful in the next generation's lives. Adults, we need to step out by faith this year. Amen. The just shall live by faith was our theme last year. Now God is calling us to step out by faith to do what He has called us to do. Amen? Together. To have faith in the power and the promises of God. To do what? To reach this lost city, this lost world for Jesus Christ. That's why God has put us here. That's why God sent a missionary to plant a church here. I asked Brother Dan, I said, why did you come to Cairns? Why did you come here for? What was the purpose? And you know what he said? He said, I've got a burden for the New Guineans in Cairns. That's what he told me. There are many New Guineans that come to Cairns to start a life here or to be educated here. And he said, I've got a burden to reach the lost New Guineans in the city of Cairns. Church, what are we doing about that? That's why this church was started. I say this to say, this church was started to reach souls for Christ. It was founded on the Great Commission. And woe be to you and I if we're happy and content with what we have and we sit comfortably and forget the foundation of Coastline Baptist Church. Friends, we need to get involved. What is God saying to us this morning? It's time to get busy. It's time to get busy reaching our Jerusalem, our city of Cairns. Amen? But we must have faith in the power of God and in His promise. He's promised to use us. But look, if you don't have faith in God, then how can you be used? Faith in the power and the promise of God. Let me encourage you, Christian. If you've been in church last year, I don't need to preach a new message. You already know what faith means. Believing in God's word and stepping out. Amen? Time to step out. Pastor, time to go door knocking. I'm scared. Amen. Good. Let's go door knocking. Let's go soul winning. Why? Because of the presence and the power of the Spirit of God. Wonderful to see His work in our lives and other people's lives as we step out by faith. Let me encourage you. This is the year. This is the year to step out. This is the year to be in walking in the footsteps of these early believers. Their example, friends, is our example. We need to have the same faith that leads us from the place where we meet, from the place where we pray, from the place where we fellowship, out the doors, amen, and into the city, amen, to the people who need to hear the gospel. And we need to have the faith of these early believers. Lastly, notice they had faith in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts chapter number 1, the Bible tells us after the Lord simply said in verse 8, this is what I want you to do. Here's the plan. Go and do it. Verse 8, the Bible tells us that plan was set. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now as they looked, two messengers appeared, dressed in white. And these angelic messengers, unlike the Lord, seemed to rebuke the disciples just standing and staring up to heaven. Verse 11, they said, "Ye men of Galilee, Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? They said to them, look, why are you just standing here? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to return the same way you've seen him go into heaven. That's basically what verse 11 says. You've seen him go, don't just stand there. He's coming back. What's the point? Verse number 8. It's time to do what Christ told you to do. For them, it was to wait. To go back to Jerusalem. To wait in the upper room. Not in hiding, but in faithful, fearless expectation. But for us, we need to be reminded this morning that our Lord Jesus Christ is risen. He's given us the power and the promises, all that we need to do what he's called us to do. Thirdly, he is coming again. We need to have faith in the return of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, the Lord Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. Work. To give every man according to his work shall be. What is the work of the believer? What is our work? Now think about it for a moment. If we miss it, we're in trouble. What is our work? What is our work? Amen? The main thing. What is the main thing? What we read of in the book of Acts. Okay, we're not there yet. What is the main thing? To preach the gospel. Amen? To preach the gospel, that means you and I, being a witness, telling what we have seen and heard to others. Why do we meet on the first day of the week? That's a divine appointment of God. Why? To prepare us to go out into the rest of the week to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. Why? For the reasons that we've already learned. Lastly, because Christ is coming again. Friends, we do not know the times or seasons. What does that mean? That means the return of Christ may be today. Now don't forget it, his return takes place in two stages. The Bible tells us that first of all, he comes for his saints in the clouds, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. He does not come to the earth, he comes in the clouds, we go up to be with him. Then secondly, he comes to the earth to rule and reign in a kingdom of righteousness for 1,000 years. But friends, we do not know when he's coming. And do you know what the motivation of the return of Christ is? That we would be busy, ever more so, about the work of the gospel. That's the motivation. Because the Bible tells us, he will give every man according as his work shall be. We cannot lose our salvation, but we can lose our rewards. We can lose the eternal rewards that Jesus Christ wants to give us for working faithfully for him. To the work, ye are servants of God. That was what we sang. Friend, are you involved in the work of God? Are you involved in the work of God? If the return of Christ doesn't motivate you, then I dare say little will. The return of Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you, church family. Christ is coming again. Amen. And you might say, Pastor, I haven't done much. Well, what does that mean? Exactly what the messengers told the disciples. Don't just stand there. Amen. Or in this case, don't just sit there staring. Amen. The Lord's coming back. What does he want you to do? Preach the gospel. This was the faith of the early believers. Waiting in the upper room. Waiting for the promise of God. Believing by faith. In God. And these were the believers that God used mightily. And he wants to use you and I today. Christian, is this faith evident in your life? Have you been stirred up by the Lord and his word in this introduction of the book of Acts? As we close this morning, and it was just a short introduction, we'll go into the next part of the chapter this evening. But for this morning's sake, friend, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? If you don't believe he rose again from the dead, then you cannot be saved. Is this the morning that you will choose to believe in the facts of the Word of God and to put your faith in Christ once and for all as Savior? Let me invite you to do so. Then let me invite you to put your hand up in a moment during our invitation and respond to the word of God, to make a choice to be saved once and for all. Now, Christian, if you're here this morning, are you ready to meet the Lord in the air? Are you ready to be stand before the Lord and to be given according as your work shall be? If your works were laid before the Lord, what are those works? Works for the gospel. If they were laid before the Lord today, would they be found as gold, silver and precious stones? That everything you did to the Lord ultimately was for the sake of the gospel. Whether setting up church, whether being a blessing in this church, whether serving, whether ministering, whether encouraging another brother or sister in Christ, was it for the sake of the gospel? The proclamation, the furtherance of the gospel? Or would we be found ashamed and empty-handed at the return of Christ? I trust you'll make some decisions today, Christian, to be ready. Christ is coming. God wants us to have the faith of these early Christians so that we may be witnesses for Him and this place and the uttermost part.